Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Hello, I'm Cecile Richards, President of Planned Parenthood Federation of America. I want to be really clear. The allegation that Planned Parenthood profits in any way from tissue donation is not true.
But STEM Express,
absolutely
which is
not.
One of the companies you work with, they have a brochure where it talks about the financial profits, the financial benefits.
Well, STEM Express is a for-profit company. That's not Planned Parenthood. We are a 100% nonprofit company.
We but it talks about the financial benefits to the clinics.
Well, there are no financial benefits to the clinics.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely.
That's an excerpt of a summary video that was released less than a day ago from the Center for Medical Progress. You know their name because they released a number of undercover videos showing Planned Parenthood officials and officials of other companies related in the trafficking of aborted baby body parts. Now, that was big news, but if I look at the video right now, that latest summary video that's been released in advance of a House vote for a reconciliation bill that would defund Planned Parenthood, I notice, less than 1,000 views on YouTube there, as opposed to earlier ones that had up to 3 million views, a few of them over a million, and most of them in the tens, if not hundreds of thousands of views. Is the story going away? What does that tell us? We're going to be talking about the summary video of Planned Parenthood officials profiting by the sale of aborted baby body parts. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, senior editor of The Federalist, will join us here in an hour or two on this Wednesday afternoon, January the 6th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Terry Mattingly joins us a little bit later. Some of his thoughts, he's kind of worked up about an LA Times story that was recently published on Christians trying to make it in Hollywood, a lesson on how not to tell the story, he says. Now, you can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And our beloved on-demand listeners use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a regular guest. She's senior editor at The Federalist. Molly, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's great to be here with you.
I think the first of those videos that the Center for Medical Progress issued now has about, more than 3 million views. Some of them have over a million, some of them several hundred thousand, some of them tens of thousands. This one that was released about 16 hours ago, albeit a short one, has less than 1,000 as of our conversation here. Does that surprise you?
Not entirely, actually. There was not anything new in this video, so there was not a push on social media to catch the latest outrage. And not only was there not anything new, even though these were snippets from many of the videos, it wasn't even necessarily the most salacious parts. So it was just a reminder of what we learned from these videos as the House voted, as they did today, to strip funding to Planned Parenthood, the organization that is featured in all of these videos. But what I think is really interesting, actually, is that these videos have never gotten appropriate mainstream media coverage. In fact, the only time they have been covered, really, was when the media had to cover it because Carly Fiorina mentioned it in a debate. That was the only time you actually saw somewhat widespread coverage of the videos, and even that coverage was horrible. So given that the mainstream media has not covered this story well, the fact that hundreds of thousands of people have been seeing these videos is really it's really impressive, and it really speaks to the lack of power the mainstream media have to control and drive these conversations now.
For a person who may, for whatever reason, be relatively unaware of what's going on in this ongoing story about Planned Parenthood, the sale of baby body parts, and the profits that they reap, and others reap it, we should also point out, therefrom. Bring us up to date. What did these videos tell us over the last year about what goes on both inside and outside Planned Parenthood?
Well, the case that the people who made the videos were attempting to make was that Planned Parenthood was involved in the harvest and sale of aborted baby parts, and that the value placed on these parts was precisely because of their humanity, which is at direct odds with what we're told from the pro-choice movement, that unborn children are not human and their lives have no value. And that case was made very well over the course of 10-plus videos, plus a lot of footage that was released as part of these videos. The videos were short enough for people to be able to watch them, but there were many hours, you know, 20-some hours of video released if you were interested in the background, where it showed top-level Planned Parenthood officials openly admitting that they would alter abortion procedures in order to preserve organs. So you had some people saying, well, we will crush above the liver if we want the liver, or we'll crush below, talking about attempts to get intact fetal cadavers, about selling off the babies in parts in order to get more money, haggling over prices, bartering over, discussing like what would be the best price. And this is completely at odds with what Planned Parenthood had claimed, which is that they were only being reimbursed for costs. And of course, if that were true, there would be no bartering, no haggling at all over what to pay for these parts. So the case was made beginning with local executives going all the way up to Planned Parenthood Federation officials. And Planned Parenthood did end up admitting that it was involved in this organ harvesting and sale. And they claim that they have stopped doing it, although there's no reason to, there's nothing to support that claim. They just have made that claim publicly that they're no longer doing it, but I'm not sure if anyone has been able to ascertain whether that's true or not.
The way that Planned Parenthood, and in particular Cecile Richards and a few other of the officials, played this in the media from the beginning up until now is really a study in denial, damage control, eventual admissions without ever really admitting anything was illegal being done. I should point out here, Molly, that two things you mentioned there are blatantly illegal. That is, to alter the methods by which they harvest this tissue, the abortion method, which they admitted that they did, and then turning around and profiting from the trafficking in human organs, which they have also in some form or another admitted that they do. But the way it's been played is just to first say, no, none of this ever happened. This is all a hoax. How long did that last?
Well, it's kind of been a method that they have reverted to repeatedly. So the original thing that they said was that these videos were deceptively edited. Sometimes they would say that the videos didn't exist. So when Carly Fiorina talked about a particularly graphic visual representation of that was in one of the videos, many people in the media bought Planned Parenthood's line that it didn't exist. So some of us began actually just, you know, directly linking to the item in question. It works with true believers. So if people don't want to feel like bad people for supporting abortion on demand, if they can be told that these videos are edited or that they don't show what they appear to show, it works for those people. What's interesting is that Planned Parenthood, spent a lot of money on this public relations battle for their lives. Basically, this was the most difficult public relations disaster they've ever had to go through, and people did grow much more unfavorable toward Planned Parenthood, and they are just generally regarded now as a scandal-plagued, very contentious organization. Compare that to a couple years ago when the Komen Foundation attempted to extract itself from funding Planned Parenthood. And Planned Parenthood ran this very savvy PR campaign to bully Komen into continuing to fund them. And the media presented it as if, you know, who could possibly be opposed to Planned Parenthood? Well, within a few short years now, nobody questions how controversial Planned Parenthood is, how scandal-plagued they are. And there will be investigations going on for years into how they run their businesses and how they avoid following the law, the very limited laws that are in place. I mean, there's very little state or federal law governing how abortions are done. And you can see how that works out with, you know, cases like the Kermit Gosnell case, but also many Planned Parenthood clinics also have problems with how they treat patients, the quality of their clinic care, the conditions of the clinic and whatnot. And there will be much more interest in this at the state level.
A couple of their PR attempts in the midst of all of this really truly backfired on them. They were trying to solicit positive experiences about interacting with Planned Parenthood, and that one went south so fast. Tell us about it.
Yeah, a few weeks ago, they asked people to give the one word that comes to mind when you say Planned Parenthood or something like that on Twitter, and it was just, they just didn't think it through, because, of course, the words that people shared when asked to give one word that comes to mind when thinking of Planned Parenthood were things like baby killers or, you know, violence against women in the womb. You know, people came up with various ways to describe what they thought about Planned Parenthood: unsanitary, exploitative, harmful. And so as the responses accumulated, it was just a sea of negative commentary about the country's largest abortion business. It does end the lives of more than 300,000 unborn children each year, and it gets, you know, $500 million a year in taxpayer funding. So this is an issue that people are really fed up with, and that's why they're asking Congress to act to rectify it.
I want to come to the kind of legislative and political processes, those wheels grind slowly, in a minute. But there was one other attempt on the part of Planned Parenthood to frame the story, and that was to say, look, abortion and what's related to it here in the harvesting of fetal body parts is just 3% of our business. It's not what we do. We're all about mammograms, health care for men and women alike. We're the only source of health care for many people in the country. How did that work?
Well, that actually is a message that, while false, has gained currency in the media, and you'll even see it repeated by credulous fact checkers. And the one thing that was interesting about it, though, was there was this kind of silly show hearing on the Hill of having Cecile Richards talk about her business, and it was not very well run. But the one good thing that I thought came out of it was a member of Congress asked her how many mammograms Planned Parenthood performs, because this is a major talking point, is that Planned Parenthood isn't about abortion, it's about mammograms. Mammograms are mostly what they do, while abortion is only 3%. Well, under oath, she had to admit that, in fact, Planned Parenthood doesn't do a single mammogram and never has. This was amazing. I mean, I remember, again, when the Komen Foundation thing came out, ABC News ran a story that began the nightly newscast that began with a claim that a woman's life had been saved from a Planned Parenthood mammogram. And, of course, people who understand how Planned Parenthood works knew that wasn't even true, that they did mammograms. But so long as nobody was placed under oath, this falsehood could spread. And so people are starting to realize that, in fact, those, you know, figures are false, that claims that are made about Planned Parenthood really need to be checked and double-checked, if they're made by Planned Parenthood in particular, and that abortion is a major part of its business model, and that there's a lot of money to be had there, and also that money is fungible. So when you're giving $500 million a year in taxpayer funding, none of which is supposed to go to abortion services, that's laughable, because it just covers overhead. It covers, you know, keeps the building running so that they can profit off of this exploitation of women and violence toward the children in their womb.
You mentioned earlier Carly Fiorina. She was among the few, if maybe the only, in the course of at least the GOP presidential political process, who brought this thing up. There was a lot of opportunity to do it, but why do you think it's mostly hands-off when it comes to this issue among those who are aspiring to the White House?
I would point out that this year has seen some of the best pro-life candidate rhetoric in recent memory. A lot of politicians have figured out how to actually discuss this issue without letting the media bully them. And it began, you know, long before Donald Trump came on the scene or anything like that. I remember Rand Paul was the first to point out that he wouldn't answer another gotcha abortion question until someone asked the DNC, the Democrats, why they support abortion on demand through all 9 months of pregnancy. Things like this are a good way to handle the topic. As it relates to the Planned Parenthood videos in particular, I think that politicians are still wary of talking about it because of how brutally and consistently biased the mainstream media tend to be when covering abortion. They have blinders on that make them unable to see the humanity of unborn life or even think of the issue as anything other than whatever Planned Parenthood says it is. And so politicians are reticent. Carly Fiorina did break that wide open into the general discourse, and I think you will continue to see that in the coming months, just because for all of the efforts of Planned Parenthood and their water carriers and the media, Planned Parenthood remains unpopular, controversial, and, at the very least, controversial, meaning, yes, some people really like them. A lot of people have very negative views about them. And so the typical approach of the media acting like there's no way you could be opposed to them is just not going to work in the coming election year.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is our guest. We're talking about a summary video of Planned Parenthood officials profiting by the sale of aborted baby body parts. She'll be with us on the other side of the break. She's the senior editor of The Federalist. Be sure to subscribe to receive The Federalist's email updates in 2016. Go through our website, issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand, and you can subscribe to The Federalist and their email updates right there. When we come back, we'll talk about the effort to defund Planned Parenthood. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is our guest.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
Standing firm in a hostile world is the theme of the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 5th and 6th. This confessional Lutheran conference features Issues Etc. guest Adam Francisco, David J. Weber, Joe Abrahamson, attorney Mark Stern, and Professor Alan Quist. If you are in Texas or would like some warmer weather in February, check out the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 5th and 6th at faithlutheransa.org. faithlutheransa.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
You'll find descriptions of real events and actual confessions of demonic encounters in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Robert Bennett. Afraid is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway of The Federalist is our guest. We're talking about a summary video of Planned Parenthood officials talking about the profits being made from aborted baby body parts. Of course, it takes place in the context of a reconciliation bill between the House and the Senate that you said the House has voted on here today to defund Planned Parenthood. This is a symbolic action. It's important, but both the Senate and the House have done this. Now the second time the House has decided to do this. Is Planned Parenthood going to be defunded, Molly?
Well, it won't happen so long as President Obama is president, because he has promised to veto anything that would remove funding from Planned Parenthood. He is a very strong ally of Planned Parenthood. He's actually one of the more radical and extreme abortion rights supporters who's held the office of president, including from the time when he was in the Illinois Senate, when he worked against legislation that would protect children who were born alive, who had been intended to be aborted. So he's fairly radical on the topic. And one thing that's really interesting about it is, despite how radical he is, despite how out of step he is with much of America, and I want to point out here, most people aren't pro-life. Most people aren't consistently pro-life or consistently pro-choice. They reside somewhat in the middle, and they're generally opposed to abortion, but they don't want it to be illegal. Well, President Obama has very extreme views on this, and he is he's willing to go to the mat for Planned Parenthood and other abortion groups. But that's not the way it's portrayed in the media. The media do not present his position as anything other than completely moderate, despite the fact that it's very much out of step with where Americans are in terms of wanting to protect unborn life in the womb after, 20 weeks and in the third trimester.
So what does this vote, the first one by the House, the Senate right before the holidays, now the second one, they're going through the process, reconciliation bill by the House. What message does this send if we have a different president?
Right.
In a year or two.
That's why this legislation, it's important to keep working on it no matter what President Obama has claimed. And it's also important just for the abortion rights movement to understand that their efforts to shut down civil rights opponents who support life in the womb, that these efforts of on their part to run these savvy PR campaigns to bully people from speaking out in the media and whatnot, that they're going to fail, and that people are very committed to this, and they will be the pro-life movement actually has a lot of experience, many decades of working on these issues, and they're not backing down, and they are working on eventually accomplishing in the House and Senate what they have set to do for a long time. One of those things, just a small thing, actually, is not giving so much federal taxpayer money to Planned Parenthood, which is, it's just one of many things that the pro-lifers want to accomplish, a lot of which will be accomplished at the state level in terms of investigating Planned Parenthood and protecting children from dismemberment abortions and things like that.
Before we let you go, Molly, I want to know what you think. A frequent guest on the program here, Hadley Arkus, who is the author of the Born Alive Infant Protection Act, he has suggested what he calls a very modest proposal for pro-life political candidates to pursue. And it's kind of an incremental thing, but he says it's very modest. All we're going to do is we're going to focus on allowing those children that survive abortion to survive. That will be the issue. We'll focus on that. We will work toward making that altogether unthinkable and illegal as a way of having something they can run on pro-life and to put it on the desk of the Democrats to make them say, like you say, President Obama has, nope, you survive abortion, you don't deserve to live. What do you think?
It's actually not a bad strategy at all, because it's important for people to understand, again, just how radical some people who support abortion can be, and to help people understand that what the natural conclusion of a radical pro-abortion position can lead you to, including not protecting children who survive abortions. It's a topic that it would be very difficult for people, even those who identify as pro-choice, to oppose. And that's not a bad strategy. There are actually all sorts of things like this, though, all sorts of incremental moves that can be made. And it's kind of a debate in pro-life circles whether going for incremental changes is good or not. But regardless of what you think on the overall issue, incremental changes have made a huge change, and that pro-lifers have been willing to fight for them for the last 40-some years has helped the movement out a lot. Another one is the bill that would protect children in the womb in the third trimester. So that's a very popular position throughout the country. It's a difficult one to oppose, even if you are pro-choice. And so bills like this, if you can pick battles like this to help people just start seeing the humanity of unborn life and start to reconsider how they approach protecting life in the womb, it's a great strategy.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is senior editor of The Federalist. You can read her articles at The Federalist and many other excellent articles that are there as well at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Molly, it's always a pleasure. Keep up the good work, and thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Terry Mattingly of the King's College in New York City, where he's Senior Fellow for Media and Religion. He's author of the On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate about an LA Times story trying to tell the story of Christians making it in Hollywood. We'll be right back.
Listen to the best of the Church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for 8 consecutive years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, thanks for your financial support. And we're looking forward to partnering with you in 2016. Lutheran Talk, Lutheran Music, Lutheran Public Radio.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Faith Lutheran Church and School in Plano, Texas preaches Christ crucified. Join us each Lord's Day to hear law and gospel preaching and receive the Lord's Supper. Our classical preschool through grade 12 Lutheran school is second to none. The school serves home educators, too, with online classes in the high school. We are located at 1701 East Park Boulevard in Plano, Texas. Reach us by phone at 972-423-7448 or on the web at www.flsplano.org.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.